Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Lou Ann Crane, as my dad, Dr. James Dobson, is in San Diego right now, preparing for the second weekend of his Building a Family Legacy film series event. And you and I will be joining him in a couple of days, Lou Ann. And I'm actually getting to speak at the event, which I am crazy excited about.
We are all looking forward to that, Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I believe folks can still get signed up if they go to our website, drjamesdobson.org, and get all the information. As we turn to what's planned for today here on Family Talk, we will be continuing our special two-day series for parents on raising handicapped children. Let me give a little background on our guests. Derek Lewis is the founder and president of a financial planning firm in Southern California, and his wife Nancy is a former school teacher, and they have three adult children.
Their oldest is Michael, and he is joining us on the broadcast. He recently turned 44 years old and absolutely loves life. Mm-hmm. And in spite of his cerebral palsy, he has a deep love for the Lord, and because of that commitment, has led over 20 family members, including his parents, brother, and sister, to the Lord.
Don't you love that?
Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. It is wonderful to see the things the Lord can accomplish in an individual and a family when they allow it. After accepting Christ, Nancy, Derek, and Michael got involved in prison ministry. They've actually been pursuing that for over 25 years now. Even once a month, they put on a chapel service where Derek brings the message.
Yesterday, the Lewis family shared about their discovery of and reaction to Michael's handicap and their acceptance of his situation. Derek and Nancy also shared how the effects of Michael's illness impacted their marriage, daily routine, and the harsh rejection they experienced by some of their friends. So if you missed yesterday's part of the interview, please go to drjamesdobson.org and get caught up, or you can request a complimentary broadcast CD. Our number is 877-732-6825.
Well, let's dive right into it now. Here is our host, Dr. James Dobson, on this edition of Family Talk.
Well, Derek, Michael, and Nancy, thanks for continuing this discussion with us. Derek, I'm going to ask you to elaborate on something we were talking about before we went on the air again, having to do with the ministry the Lord has given to you and Michael in prisons. You actually go into the prisons with Michael and testify to the inmates there. Explain that.
Yes, we do. I was reading in the book of Philippians and realizing that Paul was expressing his joy in the Lord. He might have been on a beach in Tahiti, and yet he was in the dungeons. Mm. And I thought, this is like our Michael. Our Michael is full of the joy of the Lord, and yet he's in prison, just like Paul, but Mike in his own body. And I said, Nancy, I think someday Michael is going to have a prison ministry where people will see that he's in prison in his own body and yet is full of the joy of the Lord, is an overcomer in Christ, and then forgot about it. Well, when Mike turned 18, Nancy was talking to somebody who had a prison ministry, and she took Michael, actually, the first time to the prison. Maybe you'd like to tell about that first
day. Please do.
All right. I took Michael to the prison. Derek, I said, you want to do this? And Derek said, no, I don't want to do this. And so I said, well, let me try. So Mike and I went to the prison. It was real fun because walking out to the chapel service, I said, I can hardly wait to see how God's going to use Michael. And the gentleman walking with me, who had never met Michael before, sort of patted me like, poor dear. You know, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So we got out to the chapel service, and a gentleman got up who was a prisoner, and he talked about healing and how God does heal. And he said, does anybody in here believe God heals today? And all the prisoners raised their hand. And so he said, then come up here and pray for my brother who's in the wheelchair. So here I was sitting in the very front with Michael, and I just pushed him out into the middle. And all of these prisoners came around Michael and prayed for him. Hmm. The gentleman who thought I was nuts walking out to the chapel, when I looked at him after all of this is over, he's sobbing because he was so touched by what God did through a handicapped child who can't walk, talk, or care for any of his personal needs. And I went home and I said, Derek, just go once. And Derek said, oh, all right, I'll just go once to make you happy.
Well, it was a joy. I went the following month, and what a great time it was, and a great time of ministry, and seeing how these people could identify with Mike. You know, in our fast world today, people don't have time to stop and learn to communicate with somebody who's different. But if you're in prison, you're not going anyplace. You've got time to stop and interact and find out how to communicate with somebody who's a little bit different. So those men do that. I kidded Nancy's mother. On one Christmas, we took her 80-year-old mother out with us.
Into the prison?
Into the prison. And she was pushing Mike, and one of the prisoners came and took Mike from her, and big smile on his face, full of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want to sit with Michael, and took him on into the chapel. And I kidded Grandma. I said, do you realize you just turned your grandson over to a convicted murderer?
Michael's laughing.
He loved it.
But Mike knows that this was a man who's been changed by Christ. There was an old fella who used to always come and grab Michael in front of the chapel and would sit with him and put his arm around him and pray with him through the service and just loved Michael. And one service, I was giving the message, and I had called people forward to come and make a commitment to Christ or come forward for prayer at the end of the meeting. And this man came forward wheeling Michael. He had shared in the previous couple of months that he had shared Christ with his son through the mail. And his son, who was in prison in Houston, had come to know Christ through his witness in the mail. So he came forward pushing Michael and said, I want you and Michael to pray for me. I said, well, all right, what would you like us to pray for you for? He said, I want you to pray that me and my son will have a ministry for the Lord like you and your son
had. Incredible. Did that touch you,
Derek? He wasn't looking at a handicapped person. He was looking through spiritual eyes. He wanted to have with his son that same ministry that we have.
Nancy, before we give the impression that this handicap that Michael has had has been all sweetness and light, I think we ought to give
That's
the other
right.
side of it. What did you experience with the birth of your second child? Did you go into that with a great deal of fear?
No, I was much too young and too dumb to go into that with a great deal of fear. I was excited to have a second baby. Our daughter came 14 months after Michael, and I could hardly wait for her to come. She walked early. She talked early. She was an absolute joy. Our third child scared me to death. And our third child, John, his birth was very similar to Mike. I was nervous the whole time. I was scared to death. He wouldn't smile. I was afraid he was going to have a handicap. And it was God's way taking me through the birth of our third child to heal my broken heart. You know, you don't get healed like that.
Yeah.
It takes time. And I have to say that the real healing of Michael in my heart did not happen totally until our son John was 9 years old. And then I realized one day, when it was an evening, I went to pick up John from school, and it was dark, and I couldn't find him. And I had just taken Michael horseback riding, and it was just awful. And nobody knew where John was, and I was scared to death. And as I came down the street towards our house, there was John walking with his hand out against a wall like little boys do.
Yeah.
I saw him, and I honked. And there was that still small voice inside of me that said, don't you know I love John more than you do? You can trust him to me. And that was the point where God healed my broken heart over Michael and worrying about John.
Nancy, was there anything any of us could have done to have helped heal your broken heart earlier? Did you have to just live through that? Was there anything the church could have done, your Christian friends could have done? I'm thinking especially of the mother or father out there who has a broken heart today.
If there had been somebody that could have encouraged me along the way, I think that might have helped.
Encouraged you how?
I mean, that had a handicapped child. Yeah. I think the greatest gift I got from the body of Christ was learning how to pray as a babe in Christ and really interceding and giving
but
God.
But no one really seemed to understand.
But nobody understood because they didn't have a handicapped child.
Does it bother you all, as it does me, that in most churches that you walk into today, you do not see a row of wheelchairs, at least not in proportion to the number that you know are out there, that the mentally handicapped are not represented in the numbers that they should be? Do you see an absence of part of the population that you know exists somewhere, and does that concern you?
I think you see the absence because people aren't willing to live with what God has given them. They want to hide from it. So you find institutions where parents have put their children. And I don't want to put any condemnation on a parent who has institutionalized their child. But there are hundreds, thousands of young people who are not as handicapped as Michael in foster homes, in institutions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they need to be, many of them need to be in church where they can experience what Michael has experienced. I mean, his relationship with the Lord is evident even here in this studio. That hurts me that they're cloistered someplace.
So I think the churches make a mistake in some cases by trying to segregate the handicapped people. Your handicapped programs need to be training people how to bring the how to mainstream your handicapped, make them a part of the total body of Christ. They need to be in the midst of that church service. There needs to be those people who can be the arms and legs of those who need arms and legs, but yet still have something to give. So we believe in being as normal as possible in the church. The people need to see handicapped people in the church. They need to get comfortable with praying for them or letting them pray for them, learning how to interact with them. That rejection that we have felt will be washed away when the familiarity of people who are a little bit different are mainstreamed in the church.
You all have been married 23 years now.
Absolutely.
And I believe you made a passing reference last time to the fact that in the early days after Michael was born, you were fighting with each other.
Absolutely.
I was on the staff of USC School of Medicine. I was in the Division of Child Development, and I saw many medical problems like you all have experienced. And typically, it destroyed the marriages. I mean, that was almost universal. If it didn't actually result in divorce, it destroyed the relationship, and there was just a de facto marriage left. How did you keep that from happening? Was it occurring in the early days?
I believe it was. We also were noticing that very thing. As we would go to the clinics, we would see so many families that were breaking up, so many single parents. We were witnessing so many divorces. We were first determined that we did not want that to happen in our lives, but we only were victorious by placing Christ absolutely in the center of our marriage and drawing close to Him so that He could be our strength in these things. I don't see how you can make it without Christ in the center of your marriage.
And we refused to have pity parties where we would sit around with a bunch of people who had handicapped children and talk about the handicaps, because that never helped anybody. You have to keep going forward rather than talk about your hurts.
Nancy, your favorite scripture is Matthew 6:24. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for
That's
tomorrow
right.
will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
You hold on to that? I hold on to that. Especially you asked me about what could have helped me in the early days of my Christian walk. If there had been a mother or a dad who had had a handicapped child ministering to me or saying, keep going for it, Nance, and look for the blessings. But I didn't have anybody to do that. And I found that scripture one day in the Bible, and I hung on to it because I knew that I couldn't borrow when Michael went to school. I knew I couldn't borrow when he would be 16 and have to drive. I'm not going to worry about the end of his state education because God has provided so far. He's not going to stop now. And also, that scripture has become a great blessing and a great discipline to Derek and myself because we don't worry about tomorrow.
You could get all tied in knots over what happens when you all grow old and what comes next.
And
you can't project too far in the future. You've got to just take it that
one day at a time.
You know, that there's going to be a day when the Lord's going to come for us and we're going to be saying, why did we worry about that yesterday? Or there may be a medical breakthrough that will come to us tomorrow. Or the Lord might touch him and heal him tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So there are so many alternatives, and we don't have to pinpoint that because we have a marvelous hope in Christ that we can cling to and let him work out the specific details.
And when I speak to women who are hurting, I always tell them you can do anything for one day.
And well, in fact, that's related to what I understand is your favorite scripture, and you mentioned it before, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That really is the source, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Excuse me, Nancy.
I was just going to say, anybody who's listening might say, well, it's easy for you. Your husband's home. My husband left. Or you don't understand what I'm going through. I want you to know that I am 5'3" tall. I can still lift Michael. I can still take care of all of his needs. When Derek goes out of town, I get him up. I put him in the tub and I bathe him. That is not my strength. That's the strength of Jesus Christ through me. And don't make any mistake about it. It is Jesus Christ.
Does depression over this situation still occasionally settle in on you? Let's really be honest now. Do you still struggle a little bit at times?
I think I probably struggle more than Derek. Derek is a man who's set his sight on Christ, and other things might get him down, but he refuses to allow the enemy to pull him down over Michael. I can get crabby, I can get murmuring, and I can get complaining, but I will say that the greatest source of breaking that negative chain is putting on worship music, where I change my vision, my thought process, and my words from why me, or what am I going to do, or how are we going to get to blessed be the name of the Lord.
Nancy, that might be the best 2 minutes in the entire year, like what you just said.
It is true. It is totally true. I mean it with all my heart.
Michael loves that gospel music too, doesn't he?
That was what came to us, because Michael loves music so much. When I'm in my van driving, Michael, will you say the word music so that everybody can hear you? Could you do that?
Oh, there it is.
That's the first thing Michael says in the morning when he awakens. He says music. He wants his dad to get music on the tape, on the radio. In my van, I would love to listen to some Christian programs.
he wants music.
To worship the Lord. And even in that van, he'll lift his arms if the music say, lift your arms. And God used Michael to get my focus back on worship and praise and adoration.
Nancy, in the break between the two programs, because we're recording this one right after what was heard yesterday, you said the one thing you wanted to get across was something you also mentioned last time, and that had to do with abortion, aborting a handicapped child.
Yes.
Say it again.
I would someday like to write an article, and when I get a minute, I shall. And that is amniocentesis, why? Now, I'm sure there are medical doctors out there who will like to come right down my throat. But what good is it to find out that your baby is handicapped? It just makes the rest of your pregnancy, if you don't abort the child, an absolute living terror.
We should explain amniocentesis is where they take some fluid directly, some amniotic fluid directly from the mother's womb, and analyze it, and they can tell if there's a Down syndrome child or some other kinds of handicaps there. If you ask that question, then it sort of implies that you know what to do.
Absolutely.
When you find the wrong answer.
Michael's little girlfriend is a little girl by the name of Shelley, and she is a Down syndrome. I believe those Down syndrome children are a gift to all of us from God, because they always remain childlike. They're loving. Derek walks in the door of Shelley's there, and she says, Daddy, Daddy! And her mom and dad have put her in a home, a foster home. And I just cry, because they're missing the beauty of this little girl who will always be childlike, always loving, always excited about life. Doesn't make any difference what it is. She's excited about life.
Let me push you, Nancy.
Okay.
Okay. But you're asking me to carry this child when I might have a child who's handicapped, and change my entire lifestyle.
That's right.
And sacrifice and do things differently than we would have done for the rest of my life.
For the rest of your life.
You're asking me to go through the grief of all of the medical things that are implied.
That's right. And you know, everybody wants to know what a miracle is. Everybody wants a touch from God, but they all want to walk on the top of the mountains. Why not allow the Lord to touch you, because you're in the valley? I can tell you stories, Dr. Dobson, that I could have you crying in 5 minutes.
You already have two or three times, I might tell you.
Because God has always met me, and He meets me in the valley. I'm not saying that He's not on the mountaintops, because as I praise Him and I worship Him and I enter His courts with thanksgiving and His presence with praise, He's there, and that's a mountaintop. But I also know what it is to be in the valley and have that touch, and I wouldn't give anything for it. And I can't wait for tomorrow. I have a zest for life that you can't believe, and I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring for Michael and myself and Derek. But I know, and even if God should choose to take Derek home early, I know he will provide for Michael and I to keep going forth.
You've already had visible evidence of his concern for you and your family.
I know his touch, and everybody wants to know God's touch. But are they willing to say yes, Jesus, to whatever you put on my platter?
Derek, what last thing would you say to our listeners?
Trusting the Lord and allowing him to fill you with his Holy Spirit that you can do things through Christ is the way to go. Before I knew the Lord, I used all the world's methods to fill up my emptiness. I retreated to get away from the shock of what God had given me here into alcohol, into sports, into gambling. But to have the Lord come and replace all that, be able to take it head on, and experience the joy of the Lord in it, to see lives being touched, people coming to know Christ, seeing things that are going to be eternal happening as a result of going along with the Lord's plan for our lives, it's a joy. And I couldn't be happier today, but it came out of a lot of hurt and despair to get there. So I would exude hope to whoever is listening,
absolutely,
that there is hope in Christ.
Regardless of the circumstances.
Regardless of the circumstances, never, never give up the hope that Jesus has for us, because it's marvelous what he does in our lives when we trust him with our circumstances.
You know what? I love you folks.
We love you too.
We met under those rather unusual circumstances in a restaurant in Mammoth. I just happened to see you bow your heads and pray, and I went over and introduced myself to you, as we explained last time. And from that has come this friendship and eventually this program today. And I think the Lord had that in mind. I think he gave us hunger pains at the same time send us to that restaurant.
I do too.
And I just trust that he'll continue to be with you. Michael, Lord bless you, my friend. I wish that you could talk to me, and someday we're going to sit in heaven and I'm going to hear all the things you were thinking today.
I'm looking forward to that, too.
I am, too.
Let's stay in touch, and I'll see you in the snows of Mammoth. In fact, you actually ski with Michael, don't you?
Yes, I do. We have mainstreamed Mike to be a normal part of whatever our family is doing. So when we go to Mammoth, I take Mike, I put skis on him and boots and take him right up the chairlift with me, and I ski him between my legs. Mike can put his own weight on the skis, but I still have to steady him and hold him up.
Provide the balance.
He has
and
no balance.
When I get too tired, if the hill's too steep and I get too tired, I throw him in a snowbank, and people ski up and ask if they should get the ski patrol to come and help.
But Michael's laughing.
Well, when we get down the mountain, people keep coming up. Shortly before we saw you in the restaurant, I'd had some people come up to me with tears in their eyes and said, "I saw you and your son on the mountain today, and it really touched me to see you two together."
Even that is a witness for the love of the Lord, isn't it?
When we went to Tahiti as a family, the Polynesian girls would come up and they'd say, "We have a nephew like him. We have cousins like him." He was obviously touching everybody we came into contact with, because they weren't seeing somebody visibly out there being mainstreamed with what's going on who has those kind of handicaps. I think that's what we've got to do in the church.
Yes.
There are some parents who just couldn't do it, but there are brothers and sisters in the church who can go out and grab some of these people and say, "Let me be your friend," to go to the ball game, to go to the church picnic, to wherever it may be. And I assure whoever does that, that God will give them amazing opportunities to touch lives for Christ.
Have you ever thought about being a minister? You preach a good sermon, Derek, I tell you.
Well, we all are ministers, aren't we?
Right.
We're called
to
be part of that priesthood of believers.
That's right.
Mike and Nancy and I are all part of that priesthood of believers, and praise God that our Derry and John are too.
You've preached magnificent sermons today, and again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what a wonderful way to close out this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with special guests Derek, Nancy, and Michael Lewis. It is really amazing to see the love of the Lord that just emanates through Michael. Ryan, Michael actually turned 44 this year and is still involved in prison ministry, and he is such a blessing with all those he comes in contact with.
I just can't even imagine.
That's great.
For those that missed day one of this broadcast, call us or go online. We'd love to hook you up with a complimentary broadcast CD of these programs. You can download it or subscribe to the podcast at drjamesdobson.org. Again, you can call us. Our number is 877-732-6825.
We here at Family Talk, as you can tell, we love to bring inspirational and encouraging messages like this to our listeners. But quite honestly, we cannot do it without your support. So if you are able to stand with us financially at this time, we would appreciate it.
You can donate online by clicking on the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org. Or once again, you can call us 877-732-6825.
Thanks so much for joining us today, and we hope you can return next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.